The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in to the House of L podcast. I am your host, Lawrence Holmes, and I am very much looking forward to you hearing this episode, episode 67 of the podcast. Thanks to everyone who checked out the Jason Goff episode, episode 66. It was a lot of fun. It was. I was glad that I kind of broke the podcast rule. My rule was that I wasn't going to have someone return on the podcast until I'd kind of done a round robin. But there's so many people in Chicago media who knew whenever I was going to get back to Jason being on the pod. I'm glad that he was available. I love talking with him about the business. I'm really proud of him. I'm very happy for him that he has found a space at both Big Ten Sirius and now this ESPN thing, man, I think it's going to be huge for Jason. I think he's going to do really well and move up very, very quickly. So be paying attention to that. Be following him on Twitter and whatnot and see what's going on with the Goff. Today's episode, I'm jacked about today's episode because Dave Hellum has been a friend of mine for the last few years. Like, we go to the same barber, which is what you'll hear us starting the conversation with our guy Rico in Hyde Park. Shout out to everyone at the barbershop, my man Nolan, my man Elliot. We have the same barber, and he's been a fan of the show for a while, and he hit me up one day and said, look, I'm a comedian. And I was like, okay, cool. Great. When can I see you? And he said, I do a show every month at North Bar. You should come and check it out. So I went and checked out his show, and I was like, man, this dude is really funny and it's very relatable. He's a former CPS teacher. And he quit being a teacher because being a teacher is hard. And he really wanted to focus in on comedy. Like, that made him happy. He's a funny dude. So he started doing that, and his rise in the comedy world has been tremendous. I try and watch Dave every month when he comes home because now he lives in L.A. He's a Chicago dude, but he lives in L.A. now, and he'll explain inside our conversation why he's in Los Angeles now and why he comes back here once a month. But I love his story, man. You talk about origin stories that are fantastic. This is one of them. Where now he's trying out to be a writer for shows like Black-ish. You know, he's become a writer. He was a writer on the Rel show on Fox. So it's a really good, it's a nice parallel, like, to what I do for a living. It's one of the reasons why I like talking with comedians so much, is listening to what it takes to get to the top of their profession and to also see how it morphs and changes. Like, are you going to focus solely on performing? Are you better at writing? Also, comedians are funny. Spoiler alert, they're funny. But Dave is a really good example of a guy from the neighborhood made good. And I'm so happy that he is having the type of success that he's having, because he absolutely 100% deserves it. So listen to the episode. This is a funny dude. This is a cat whose name you might not know right now, but you will. And you're going to be like, oh, Lawrence was talking about that dude, I think. Yeah, and talking to him. This is my boy Dave Hellum. This is us talking about comedy and life and teaching and getting drunk. And also our barber, Rico, at Blues Barbershop. Enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, we got the. I'm charging right now. You need a charger?
I got a charger. Just need outlets. Yeah. Let me just say this. Yesterday was a wild day, sir. You text me, and I was like, yeah, I'm coming.
You could have said no, man. You could have totally said, I would have understood.
Nah, man of my word, brother.
I would have understood. So I'm recording right now. I'm already recording. I don't even do intros no more. I'll do the front and back later.
We're just here. I got you.
We just out here. I have a question for you to start things off. It pertains to both of us.
Okay.
What do you do when your barber says he's only cutting on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Would you be allowed to leave your barber if they put those type of restrictions on when you could get your hair cut?
I'm a barber cheater. You know what I'm saying? I'm a non-monogamous client. So, like, you know, if you want to make these rules up and you say that you can't do these things, that means I get to step out on you. You know what I'm saying? And go and get my freak on with other barbers. Now, here's the only bad part. You might get burnt. Okay? When you cheat, you might come back with VD. And that's a fucked up lining. Or because, like, your barber knows how to cut your hair, right, Rico? And you know how he knows how to cut my hair too. I mean, it's our barber, right? So, like, when they're a superstar and they're a food porn person, like our barber is. Our barber's a famous person, okay?
Super famous, like more famous than us combined.
He's like High Park famous, but I love him very much. You know, that's the thing, High Park famous, where you're like only famous on 53rd Street.
You're only famous between like 51st and 56th.
No, I say what I said.
Just 53rd? He only gets 53rd?
Between Cottage Grove and Lake Park. That's it. Down that one block, everybody knows your name. Rico!
But people do know him.
They do. And now he's in movies now. He's an extra. He was in Taken. Like, he was in one scene.
Was he really?
Well, I mean, Viola Davis was, like, eating in a diner, and then you saw, like, the back of his head, right?
Oh, okay.
And it was, he's like, yeah, I've been in that. I've been in Empire. I'm like, you're not in shit. Okay, you are an extra. We see the side of your head, sir. That is all that is.
That's okay. What's really crazy is, were you with Rico back when he was over
Canalport?
Okay, and now, like, all the NYMEC people are there.
Yeah.
So yeah. I remember, and what's crazy is, and I joke about this all the time, is that Charmaine used to be a sales rep here at my radio station.
Oh, Charmaine.
I mean, it's crazy to me. Like, to see her on television now is insane.
I love that show, by the way. Black King Chicago. It is, I like ratchet TV, but they always fight for no reason. Like it's like they're having a good time. And then something happens where it's like, fuck it, we just got to fight. And it comes out of nowhere. And I love it. I know I shouldn't support it, but that's my shit.
It seems to be that is the genre of show now on VH1, where it's like, let's just get a bunch of people in the same industry together and have them fight. And then I feel like an old head because I'm like, I don't know these people. And I'm sitting there like, do I not know these people because they aren't famous? Or do I not know these people because I'm too old? And then I'm like, well, wait, they older than I am.
Who?
Well, I mean, like, I know who Stevie J is.
Oh, yeah.
Stevie, right?
But Stevie J's damn near 50. He just wears all the shit in his
hand. That's right? My point. But I don't know who Carly is. Like, I don't know who some of these people are on Love & Hip Hop.
You don't need to know anybody except Cardi B. Like, she made it out the trap, and now she's free. She found her offset. But other than that, no one gives a fuck, man. Like, I just watch it for the fights. It's bad. But I really like seeing black-on-black violence on VH1.
Why?
I don't know, because it's not like I like it for real, but it's just entertaining when somebody gets hit with a stiletto.
Right. It's a lot of shoe throwing.
Man.
Like, that's a thing.
And if you think about where else would you see Young Jock in life outside of reality TV?
Why does he have blue hair?
Why does he have so many things?
Or a perm.
Why does he have a perm? Why is his name Young Jock?
You mean you got to go to old Jock now?
Well, he's not young.
It's true.
It's like young Jeezy is just Jeezy. Jeezy's like 50. You just Jeezy now, right? And Dr. Dre's not a doctor. I just call him Dre. Like, I don't give people names that they don't deserve.
You can call him billionaire now.
Yeah, that's true. But you're not a doctor, son. Well, actually, you might be a doctor because Missy just got an honorary doctorate.
Did you see her speech? I thought it was pretty great.
No, I didn't see it.
She was talking about how she got how people kept doubting her, like, throughout the beginning of her career, and that she used to see back in the day, like, it would be her song, but they would have a model in the video, and that it really bothered her.
Oh, yeah.
You remember, like, that was, like, a whole thing in the late 80s.
CNC Music Factory.
100%.
No, actually.
With Martha Wash, right? It was Martha Wash doing the singing.
Yeah. I think there's a woman that was in LL Cool J's Doing It video that did the same thing because they put somebody else, even though it was a bigger woman, that was talking. That's messed up.
It's way messed up. You've, like, gotten a little brand new lately, I've noticed.
How so?
You're vegan now?
Oh, vegetarian. Well, actually, pescatarian. I still have fish every once in a while.
All right, that's good. So how's that going?
It's good, man. I'm trying. If I can stop the alcohol, that would be great. That is my downfall because, like, as a comic, we're out every night kicking it. And I told you last night was too real. I'm in town for this show called True TV's Lab Tracks at the Promontory on the South Side. They bring in, like, some of the country's best comics, and they tape their live sets, and then they do a recreation of their jokes with a voiceover. With actual actors and a live sketch. It's really amazing. I did it last season. Anyway, last night was Chris Redd from SNL, my guy T-Murph, Just Niche, and Donnell Rawlings, a.k.a. Ashy Larry. And it was like the first night of the taping, so people were just kind of like, they're like, we want to die tonight, right? So, like, everybody was just out at the Promontory just losing their damn mind. And I probably smell very interesting right now because, like, it was a hell of a time, man. Now, you never, like, shower, but you'd be like, man, you know, it's still in me. I smell it.
No, I've had those nights. They're few and far between for me because I don't drink that much, but when you go, like, when you go hard.
Man, I went hard.
And you're just sitting there like, I got to get this out of my pores. Like, it's in my pores.
I'm about to get a Divvy bite and just ride back to the
sauce. No, not today. Not in your denim. Not... Don't be out there in the sun in your denim on
my
Divvy bike.
You can't. They'd be like, Dave Hellum
passed away.
Had a stroke on Michigan and Lake. He was wearing tight khakis, a denim jacket, and a Scully, even though it was 80 degrees.
Yeah, we can't have that. We have this when we're recording, it's, you know, this is the first time we've had two back-to-back nights. See, you've been out in L.A., so,
every day is like this in LA.
I know, but
every day.
It has not been this here. It has been, I looked at the calendar, me and my wife were looking at the calendar the other day, and I looked at the 10-day forecast, and the 10-day forecast was like, oh yeah, it's going to be 59. I'm like, it's June. Like, and I get the whole, like, I was born and raised here. I get the whole Chicago, oh, you're from Chicago, you're supposed to know. Look, it's June. I shouldn't be seeing 59 as a high.
I get it, bro. I didn't realize how bad it was in terms of, until I got here. Because I got back here on Friday for my show, right? And it's been pretty shitty until yesterday and today. So I get why people come out. Like outside right now on Michigan Avenue, I was by the Art Institute, and everybody was outside trying to fight for the sidewalk. The Bucket Boys, tourists from Wisconsin. It was a marching band from the hood, from the South Side that was out there. Just random white people.
They didn't have the rifle crew out there. Were they out there?
No.
Twirling?
No. This is just a regular black marching band. But the Bucket Boys are out there with their shirts off, scaring all the white people, right? And I was like, put y'all shirts on. Like, cause y'all play the buckets like drums. I get it, but it's just too much for some white folks. Like to have like the guys on the buckets with the shirts off and the dreads, they ain't ready for that. So they needed like the Miami like chain like around their necks as they beat the buckets. I don't know what I'm saying right now. I'm probably still drunk. Okay, all right.
Can we talk about last Friday's show?
Can we?
I would like to talk about it, and I would like to just give you my perspective because I didn't get a chance to talk. I was talking with Filonius about this, though.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sitting there in the corner. You know, you come home, I come out. I want to see the show. I'm a huge fan of a dope-ass comedy show at North Bar. And I'm sitting there, and Mel was sick, so she didn't come. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready to look. I'm looking at the lineup, like there's some comedians here that I really want to see. The audience participation portion of the show, which is not really a thing in stand-up comedy.
Let's talk about this.
It really annoyed me. Like, as someone who was there to watch you and to watch the comedians, I was annoyed at how much people wanted to interject themselves into the show. So what's the right way to deal with it, and what was your feeling about it?
Well, they're banned from my show forever. Those four chicks. And then that one person who brought the other people. And I met her at a show, and guess how I met her?
How?
On outside after she had gotten kicked out of another show.
Okay.
Right? So and that's how we bonded. I was like, oh man, it sucks that, you know, you got kicked out. But no, it doesn't suck. This is what you do. And it's really bothersome to me when people who are not comedians, like, their dreams to be up there, but they're, like, too scared to, like, actually go up there. So they want to just make themselves a part of the show and talk. And she was a nurse. And she was like, we've had a rough week. We can do this. And I was like, yo. I went full teacher mode, bro. I wasn't even a comedian anymore. I went back to Mr. Hellum, back to my teaching days in Chicago, where I stopped the show. I stopped being funny, right? And I was just, like, on this rant. And I was like, man, this is just blowing the mood of the show. And we've never had a show like that. Ever. And I was so freaking mad, man. I was like, you saw it. And then I kept saying, please put your glasses off the stage. I don't want comics falling them, like tripping over your glasses coming up to the mic. And they kept doing it. Bro, I was about to go to jail that night. Like I hate when people are just assholes. Like I hate when people are just, it's about themselves and it's no reason why they're doing it other than just to be selfish. Like, why would you put glasses on the stage when you see comics are walking up and they could easily, like, fall, twist their ankles, and it's your fault? There's no reason for you to have this on the stage. It's a simple thing. Just take your drink, put it by your feet, right? And they just wouldn't do it. And I was sweating. I was very angry. I'm very angry right now talking about this. Like, I hate inconsiderate people. I really do.
Well, I actually ran into Joey across the street after the show was over.
Oh, at the Hi-Hat?
Yeah, and I was talking with, I just told him that he did a great set, but he even stopped his set.
He couldn't tell his last joke.
And that's terrible. I mean, it's terrible for anyone, but that guy's one of the funniest dudes I've ever seen.
Yeah, man.
And the fact that he had to then, like, tailor his show around rowdy audience members. So what's the protocol in comedy for that, to combat that?
Normally, like, you just get kicked out the show. But North Bar's are pretty, like, it's not a lot of security. It's like Dale works the door, my guy Dale. I mean, and Dale will do it. Dale has fought many people at the Continental at 5 a.m. where he just slaps them. But we don't want that type of that heat at my show, man. You know what I'm saying? So I just never had to deal with it at my show. Because my crowd is pretty cool. It's diverse as hell. We don't have those problems at my show. So to have that happen that one time, that's my brand, bro. Like coming up in July is my 3-year anniversary show.
Wow.
3 years.
Wow.
That first show started with maybe like 11 people. I had Hannibal Buress on that first show. And it might have been like some of my former students who came to the show to support, because I had one of them performing as a musical guest. And maybe like 11 audience members. And now to have it like packed out every month, and I come back to LA, it's a big thing. So don't ruin my shit. Like, I built this stuff up. Like, I've my journey through Chicago, from having shows at the Promontory, to the Revival, like to the Laugh Factory. Like, I've had a lot of stuff, but this is my only show that I have in Chicago now. Actually, I have a show at the Soho House every 3 months, but for the most part, I don't do anything else outside of this show. So it's like, don't ruin that. Because each month we have so many new people who come here who have never come to the show before, right? And I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed, bro. I was like, yo, this is not typically what the show's like. And she was crying, like, oh, my God, why am I banned? I'm a supporter. And I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, that's it.
You were warm multiple times. Like, it was so bad that I got up. And I was like, this is uncomfortable because I'm going to say something. And, like, and it's going to become a thing. So I got up and I almost left the show. And then I ran into Felonious in the back. And I was just looking at him like, can you believe this? Like, this is some bullshit. Like, I don't understand. Like, look, if a comedian asks for your participation, cool. If they're, hey, how's it going? Or where are you from? Or something like that, cool. But they don't need you interjecting into every moment of their stand-up. And like you said, ruining it for everyone else. It was just poor. And I get the look, maybe it's your one night out that you get and you're trying to have a good time, but you're here to be entertained. So why not be entertained?
That's a common thing in comedy shows, man, when people come out. And I don't realize that people have such low tolerances. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe because, like, I've been drinking since I've been, like, you know, I guess what, like 17 years now, as from 21 to 38, but I got a pretty high tolerance. I know how to handle my shit, and some people just don't. And then, like, I see people have like a couple coronas, and they're like, "Oh my God, I am wasted." I'm just like, "What? Like what? Like
how,
ma'am, sir? Like how is this happening? Like, if this is the case, you should not be allowed to drink at all. This is not for you, right?" Anyway, it's so funny that talking about this is making me so angry. But this is a common part of comedy shows. Man, this is why I would hate doing shows when I first started in certain places. Like, it was some hood spots I was doing comedy at, like, in Blue Island and, like, the South Suburbs. And, you know, where people, like, really will heckle you. And mm-hmm. not heckle you for, like, fun, but you feel like your manhood was just being checked. And there were times... this one dude was like, "You corny," and I was just like, "Okay, something like this is not gonna end well, right?" And I would get roasted for just dressing like a teacher, because I would come off work and I would have like my slacks and like my cardigan on, and I don't care, like, you know. So then I started going to the mall and dressing more urban and buying jeans with the samurais on the back. Right?
What are you doing?
I don't know. I was trying to blend in, man. I got like a three XL hoodie. You gotta have the jeans. You gotta have the jeans where the pockets are three dimensional. They come out like vampire, like vampire capes. Like, and there's a button on the back of them. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. I know exactly what you're talking about.
With like some type of rhinestones on the side, but samurais have to be in the back pocket. And I was just buying shit like this because I was trying to fit in. I didn't even go buy. I wasn't Dave Helen back then. I was Davey Boy. Davey Boy. I was trying to be somebody who I wasn't. And, you know, it was just those days. I look back at those days and I laugh because I really thought that I was being judged or not accepted. But now that those same people who I came up with look up to me as like somebody who's like doing what I'm doing, right? So...
So how did you figure out that you wanted to do, before you do all of the Los Angeles stuff, but you decided I'm going to have a comedy show once a month? How does that thought jump into your mind that I'm going to host a comedy show?
Well, when you host comedy shows, there are perks to it. For one, like, you get to do other people's shows. Like, it's just kind of like, you have a dope show, people want to do it, and you can do their shows. It's a trade-off. But I just like producing stuff, man. Like, I've always wanted to be, like, in Chicago, one of those, like, influencers, like tastemakers, where I just have dope events, whether it's comedy or it's just, like, a nice food event with nice music. Like, I just like entertaining, you know what I mean? So comedy, to me, I've had shows all over the city, but my whole thing was just creating a vibe where people just wanted to be there. And it's just like, oh, this is a cool thing to have. I've had shows on 43rd in Bronzeville in the back of a cafe, like a summer series, like where it was an outdoor comedy show. I've had shows in Pilsen in art galleries, at the NYCH gallery, like kind of where I was doing that once a month called Thank You Very Much. Like I said, I had a weekly show at the Revival every Saturday called The Green Room. We had Blipsters on Broadway every Sunday at the Laugh Factory. And then we had Blipsters, Blipster Life at the Promontory once a month. And then I have my show at North Bar, Dope Ass Comedy Show. So I've always liked putting shows together, man. You know, and I realize that the more shows you produce and the better they are, the more kind of like quote unquote juice you get in terms of like the comedy scene. Like, people want to be a part of dope stuff. And when you produce those things, like, you know, it's kind of a cool thing. Like, yeah, you know what? I am doing this. And I just enjoy producing good shows. And also, I want to do stuff for the Chicago comedy scene because I live in L.A. now. Like, I know how important it is to get people seen. Like, last night, I had a friend. His name is M-Dub, Marvin Phipps, very funny guy. And these True TV execs were there. And, you know, Dubs has never met them before, but they see him on Facebook, and he's hilarious, right? So I want to be able to get Dubs on Laugh Tracks next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to give people opportunities to do shit. That's why I come back. It's not for me. I'm fine in LA. I just like coming back and helping the comedy scene grow, bro. Plus, I just love this damn city.
So do you think that what ends up happening with you is that you're not in front of the mic or in front of the camera as much, and you kind of morph into more of a producer role? Because if I look at your career arc,
yeah,
you're writing, you're producing, you're putting together shows. Do you still like actually doing comedy, or is it more exciting to help other people do it?
It's both. It's not mutually exclusive. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm one of the best comics in the country. I'm like, no bullshit. It's just, how can I say this without sounding bitter? Like, I like doing what I'm doing, but this allows me to control what I can control. I want to do other comedy. I want to be on Netflix, but I'm not right now. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where, like, until that happens, I'm just going to keep producing shows that are quality and keep doing that. But then when people come to the show and they see me on my sets, like, they're going to see that I'm funny. But a lot of times people say, well, are you going to tell jokes? What do you mean? Well, you're hosting. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to tell jokes. But, you know, people don't really get to see me do a full set a lot of times. But if you see me do a half hour or 45 minutes, you're going to be like, yo, that dude's amazing. You know, you've seen, like, my jokes on True TV and stuff like that. So, I don't know. But I think people sometimes forget that I still got these hands on this comedy shit. I just like producing and letting
that. The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Other folks shine. Sometimes I'll just be tired, man. I fly in from LA, and then I go from O'Hare. I take the blue line. I see people smoking stuff.
I saw some kids today, man. I was just like, really? Before school? I was out for a walk by Mount Carmel, and I was just going, y'all already? It's 7:15 in the morning. Y'all high already?
I mean, that's nothing new, man. Come on.
As I get older, I guess I'm probably more like taken aback by it.
Get off my lawn.
It's very much get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. Lawrence, get off my lawn, home.
Get your damn dog off my lawn, too. I'll be seeing y'all.
Yo, what's crazy? Like you're Southside, right? So that area is changing so much. It's like gentrified. I saw a white dude skateboarding down King Drive, going like southbound, and I was like, they gonna beat your ass. Like I was like, get off the skateboard. But I also realized that they're not gonna beat his ass. Like he's gonna be fine. But the audacity to just like, because once you get past like 55th and King. Going southbound, I guess a little.
If you stay on King, so like you almost have to stay within the boundaries of UFC East.
Yeah,
it's got to be Cottage to the lake. If you go any further west than that,
oh man,
you're still gonna run into some issues.
My friends from LA got an Airbnb recently, and it was off like 43rd, but it was west of...
So, like, 43rd and, like, Champlain, like, around there?
Yeah, bruh. Bruh. When I tell you, as a black person, and I'm scared. I'm like, you know what? It was an Airbnb, and in the back they had a doghouse with an antenna on the top, and...
The dog got cable.
It wasn't even a dog. It wasn't no dog there. I was like, what the fuck is this? And I don't know what part. I think it's Inglewood, but the Airbnb was nice itself. But I was just like, this is crazy, man. Like, no, I'm not. I stay east myself. I went to Marian Catholic, man. Like, I ain't no thug. I ain't no thug, man. Like, I'm not putting myself In harm's way, but it's some places in Chicago. Like I'm just not going. We get a bad rep in Chicago. Chicago's a really great city, but there are pockets where you should not be there.
I agree with you. Inglewood will be next, though. Inglewood will be the next.
They're going to call that West Hyde Park soon. It's not.
I mean, Woodlawn has already kind of gotten annexed. You know, like, it's kind of already been annexed, and with the Obama library coming in, you see some stuff. Like, I walk past, like, from the time that I bought my place, and I have a condo in Kenwood, too, that I rent out. And from the time I bought that place to now, I mean, obviously, it's a long time, but the changes that have happened have been amazing.
It's if you own property... Gentrification is your friend.
It is.
It is. Like, it's not a bad thing. And people get mad about this because it drives the prices up on the rent, but it also drives up the prices on the property value if you own property. So what's the message in all of this? Get some goddamn property, right, and enjoy it. And when you see the people building the community gardens outside of crack houses, right, and that's what it is, you just enjoy that shit, man.
I told my wife, Dave, we were walking down by 65th and Woodlawn because you know that they have the garden there. There's the community garden.
That's exactly the one I'm talking about.
I know, son. It's the one that you're talking about. And there's a lot of buildings that are going up.
Yeah.
And my wife said, you know, do you think that someone's going to buy that land and then put houses? And I was like, oh, no. I was like, your people, because my wife is white. I was like, your people are here now and they will pick up arms for the community garden. It might not be a lot of other things that they're going to pick up arms for, but you're not taking them tomato plants. I can tell you that.
That should be a movie. Like, remember like how in Breaking Electric Boogaloo, like I think they were trying to like build
They were tearing down the community center.
Right?
Miracles, right? Wasn't it Miracles?
I don't know. That white girl was so fine. But
Kelly, man, she Lucinda Dickey is the name of the actress.
She was bad, bro. But there should be a movie called like White Breaking, where they just save a community garden and they're not breakdancing. They're just like doing Pilates in the garden. And I don't know how you would phrase it, but you know, I would watch it.
I think that we should do something with that. we should. I mean, think about it. Like, you have the community garden, and then you have like what you could do is you could have like. We could make it an Obama-esque character who wants to put their building in the community garden, and then you could have the white people revolt in the black neighborhood about the black politician's library that's taken away the community
garden. That's all Breaking was, but they were breaking. So maybe instead of having a breakdance, they could just drink LaCroix and meditate. I don't know.
But every time you bring that up in your shows, I laugh because that's my wife's like thing.
LaCroix?
Oh my God. It is all over the house. It is different flavors. And I'm like, this is bubble water. Like, this is not even good.
They got Buble now.
Buble?
Yeah. Have you seen that?
No.
Buble. It's like a competitor to LaCroix. It's like Pepsi and Coke. You know, it's like same shit, man. But to be honest, it's not that bad, the flavor water. And
come on.
Let's talk about this, man. I didn't know that people were so afraid of calories and like so much. So like, and being a black person, like if you bring LaCroix or diet soda or pop to any like cookout, somebody gonna beat your ass, right? We should do a challenge. We just drive around to like black cookouts on the south side
and see how many Diet Cokes we can find.
No, we bring the LaCroix to people and then we just record their reactions
as we're running to the car, because that's what's gonna happen. They're gonna be throwing those things.
It's like
us.
The Pepsi challenge. Like, you know, they used to be like, they would like have you have like Pepsi or Coke, and then they would drink it. I like Pepsi more. We're not gonna give them a choice. We're just gonna hand them LaCroix and we're gonna record their reaction. They're gonna be like, this nasty as fuck, right? And then.
And they're going to be throwing them cans at us, man. Them half full cans. That's what's going to happen to us.
Oh, man.
With the LaCroix. But yeah, anyway, back to the gentrification thing. It's such a complicated issue, obviously. But I did tell Mel, I was like, these people will kill you over that community garden. Like, that's the one over at 61st and Woodlawn. Them people are try and take it and see what happens.
I definitely agree, bro. My issue, though, I'm thinking about this as a Southsider. I go to a lot of Cubs games, right? And you know, Wrigleyville is its own thing. It's so many businesses, so many bars. It makes a lot of money for the community, right? With the Southside being gentrified and having more people coming more money is being spent, we got to get more shit around the White Sox Stadium, man. I went to a game recently, and it's like. I mean, maybe they want it like that, where it's like you can only go to like the park across the street, the bar.
Yeah, the Shy Sox bar.
Yeah,
that they have, like, that's their own thing, and it's dope. Like, they have their menu is Gibson's.
It's
like,
great, but that's the only shit. Like it's
you got to walk all the way to Halsted before you.
It's like a hot dog spot that's like further down
on 31st.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's really good too. But it's like, yo, we need to put more stuff on the south side to make it pop more, because like Hyde Park is great. Like, Hyde Park is booming. They're putting the Trader Joe's, a.k.a. White Aldi's.
That's what it is.
It is. Where Treasure Island used to be. Like, I love Hyde Park.
I actually think that we have too much in Hyde Park now. Like, it's already
on
like
that one street?
53rd. Yeah. Like, it's just downtown. It's called downtown Hyde Park now, Dave. I don't know if you.
No, I didn't know that.
If you realize. Like, seriously, on Lakeshore Drive, there's now a sign if you're getting off of 53rd
Street. How do you
have
a downtown for a place that's two streets?
I don't know, but we have now become downtown.
Is 55th uptown? Like, how do you have a downtown with two damn streets?
My guess is 57th is uptown. Oh my God. That's my guess, is 57th is uptown?
Because Hyde Park goes from 51st to 57th, right? It's six blocks.
51st to 59th, but the university is cutting off some of that.
Right. I take that.
That's 51st to the Midway. Let's say that.
That's a mile. That's 1 mile, and let's say like that's the length is 1 mile. And
Cottage to Stony.
That's 800 west to 16. So it's literally a 1 mile by 1 mile. I should be a math teacher. Okay, I know these numbers, bitch. All right. So
know the grid.
I know the grid, but that's how I used to teach. I used to actually teach that to the kids, because math they teach you so much bullshit. But I was to teach my kids how to use the grid so that they would know. Like, without using the GPS, like, where they're going and how far it was taking, how far it would be, man. Like, you know, remember when you were in grade school, they gave you graph paper, right? And the graph paper, you would make, like, an X, Y axis, and you had to plot stuff, plot points.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I would teach that, but I would teach it with actual Chicago stuff, right? So at the center of the grid would be State and Madison, because that's like 0-0 on both of them, right? And I would give the kids like different pinpoints around the city. Like I would give them like stadiums. I would give them like United Center, Soldier Field, right? So I would say, if it's from this point to this point, what is the distance using the Pythagorean theorem? You know what I'm saying? Like how far north would you have to go? And I'm sorry, so to go to United Center to Soldier Field, let's say that, right? How far east would you have to go and how far south would you have to go? And then use the Pythagorean theorem to figure out how far that would be an actual mile. And they really enjoyed that. You know what I'm saying?
It's practical. And that's, in education, I think that's something that's become more important is, yes, you can talk about all of the theory stuff. And I know I'm going to sound kind of like a dick because I just finished grad school, but...
Oh yeah.
What really annoyed me as a student at this point in my life was all the theory that I kept seeing. I was like, "Nah, there's no practical use for that what you're talking about." And what you're saying is that the educational experience, when you make it practical, you have more of a buy-in. Like kids can actually buy into the idea of, "Oh, this is how I work the grid." Now, you know how I know why it's important? My own experience. My own experience was South. Like my whole life was South. We grew up in Roseland over 111th and Halsted, like around there.
Okay.
Moved out to Homewood specifically for me to go to HF when I was 14. And my grammar school was on 95th and Harvard. Okay. What I didn't understand about the North Side, and it took me like a couple days to figure it out once I got to DePaul, I was like, why are the numbers going the other way?
Right.
Like, I couldn't, like, I was like, what? Why are these numbers getting bigger? And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me because I never spent any time north of Madison.
Well, nobody ever taught you that, like, the numbers south are almost like negative numbers and, like, the numbers north on the north side are kind of like positive numbers because they're going in different ways, right? But once somebody explains it, you're like, oh, it's very simple, right? And my dad did that shit to me. My dad broke it down and told me that in Chicago, 8 blocks is 1 mile. In Chicago, and I never, and my dad, may he rest in peace, I will never forget that, like, that, and I think about that all the time as I'm moving around the city, like, well, how many miles do I got to go? And some people might say, like, why does it matter? It might not matter, because we have, like, Google Maps and all this other stuff now, but this is common sense shit that people should just be able to do. Like what did people do before, like, GPS and all this stuff?
I've been thinking about, like, my own experience with it. In like places, like difficult places to get to, you would have to depend on someone giving you detailed directions. In Chicago, I think it's easier because of the grid. Like, you know, every 4 blocks, there's a big street. So even if you get turned around, you know that you are going to eventually run into a big street that can help point you in the right direction.
New York, too. And New York is even easier. You know what I mean? But it's dirty, but it's easy.
It is dirty.
It's very dirty.
I don't like New York or Philly. I don't like cities where they don't have alleys.
I don't like shitty pizza. And I will fight you if you talk to me about dollar slices. And because people say Chicago pizza, though, it's not pizza. It's casserole. It's lasagna with bread around it. I will beat your ass. Okay? I will fight you. It's delicious. It's tasty. If you talk shit about deep dish or Italian fiesta, come find me. Not a game, Lawrence.
Italian fiesta, man.
It's good. It's good, greasy.
Like, have you been to the new setup that they have on 47th now?
The spot that they used to have was so like it was
janky.
It was so hood. But also I don't eat meat, so like.
Oh, that's right.
I would love the joint with the Italian sausage, the peppers, and the mushrooms. It was like the Chicago special, like. But I don't eat that stuff no more, you know? And it's hard being a vegetarian, man. Like, cause people keep saying, like, oh, like you lost weight and all this stuff. But, like, to me, I'm still fat, right? So it's like, I gotta keep going, man. And then coming back home, they keep trying to pull me back into the bullshit of Chicago food. I ain't going. I'm not going, bro.
So what do you do, like, in a night like last night where you were out kicking it with the other comedians hard? And if you're looking for late night food to soak up some of that alcohol. What's your go-to now?
It's more alcohol, man.
It's not even food.
If I'm going to have, this sounds so crazy, but you know how they say like alcohol with empty calories? It's still calories.
Like, it's true.
So I'm like, you know what? If I'm not going to eat, I'm in the Long Island, whatever, you know. Or I'll just go to 7-Eleven and get a cheese stick.
I mean, that's fair. You don't know how long it's been there, but it's fine.
I mean, they have food at 7-Eleven. I'm like,
how?
How? Like, they have these things that I used to eat when I was eating meat, like these pieces of cheese with like the prosciutto wrapped around them. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I would have like four of those at one time with a Gatorade, and I would just, it was like, it's better than sex, man. Just eating those and go to sleep in the Uber and whatever, Lawrence. I'm not trying to.
Want a pro tip on 7-Eleven? Remember how good lemon cookies were when we were a kid?
Lemon cookies?
You never had a lemon cookie?
I didn't. I had them. I don't think they're that great. But yeah.
7-Eleven lemon cookies are for real.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They're like $1.
I'm more of a peanut butter cookie guy.
Oh, okay. There's nothing wrong with that. They have those too. You can get like two for $1, like two little packages for $1, and the lemon cookies are out of this world.
Are they like the stuff with the cream in the middle?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah.
They're so good. Like, I was blown away. It was one of those days where, like, you wanted something and be like, I don't know, nothing's like hitting you. And you walk past, like, oh, lemon cookies. I remember these when I was a kid. Remember we had strawberry cookies too?
Yeah, those were great.
And I was like, these can't be as good as what I remember, lemon cookies. And I opened them up and I was like, damn, if these are not fantastic.
I used to like them with milk. You dip them in the milk and then you eat them. I was a fat kid.
There's nothing inherently fat about dipping cookies in milk. It's like the whole thing. That's the bit. Like, that's the whole bit, is you dip cookies in milk.
Yeah, but we didn't really grow up on, like, eating healthy shit. Like,
that's true.
We just grew up on just all, like, processed foods, like fish sticks and pizza rolls, because it was convenient to have all this stuff. We had three boys in my house, you know? But, like, so my mom, it would take a lot more effort for her to, like, make food from scratch and do all this other shit. So we grew up on, like, microwave stuff.
Remember the great line from Fonte, went to the repast and ate the same shit that killed him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a thing. It's absolutely a thing. So was the vegetarian deal, and was it based in you didn't want to harm animals, or was it based in you wanted to eat healthy?
It's a health thing. It's not about the animals. No disrespect to the animal lovers out there, but my best friend works for the University of Chicago, and he's a doctor. And, you know, he'll just tell me, like, man, I worry about you, you know? Like, you're out all the time. Like, you don't get a lot of rest. You know, plus, I was probably putting on some pounds, you know what I'm saying, just over time, so... Yeah, he just kept it real with me. And I was like, you know what? Because he had lost a lot of weight. I said, how'd you lose this weight? And he said, man, he said, I don't eat meat by myself.
So he will go out and have meat.
Like, if it's social, he'll have some chicken or something like that.
That's a really interesting way to do it.
He said, I won't eat meat by myself.
Huh.
Like, some people won't drink by themselves. He won't eat meat by himself. Not saying that he won't ever eat meat, but for the most part, it's plant-based stuff. And I was like, I want to do that.
Has it been difficult?
No, it's not. Not at all. Because, like, when you go to the grocery store, they have a lot of options. I go to Trader Joe's a lot. And, you know, plant-based is like the jam there. So they have a lot of different options. And now they have this Beyond Meat stuff. Like, in L.A. where I live, there's a spot called Del Taco. They have these meatless tacos. They're so delicious. But I don't eat fast food like that. But if I do, you can go to Chipotle. They got the sofritas, which is like the fake meat situation going on. Or
you can go rice and beans.
You don't even need it.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I think the meat is overrated. I don't miss it that much. I don't.
You don't miss it as much as you thought you would? Mm-hmm.
I don't. It's one of those things where it's like, what, when you think about meat, I'm asking you personally, what do you really enjoy? Like, what are things that you really enjoy eating? Like steak?
A really nice steak or pepperoni on a pizza.
Now, I like the steak too, and pepperoni. So I just find things that can give me like a similar type of jam. So, like, I like mushrooms a lot, because mushrooms, when you cook them right and you season them and you Put them on the stove with olive oil. It kind of has a steak like texture to it. Where it's not steak, but it's kind of like it's similar to it, and it's fine.
Mushroom burgers were like a big thing for a long time, so I completely get that. I'm trying not to take up all your time, but there's a couple more things I want to ask you about because haven't even talked about L.A.
Mm-hmm.
What is your L.A. experience been like, and how different is it for you being a lifelong Chicagoan now transplanted out there?
My only goal is to help people, man. And as long as I'm okay financially, like I'm not. When I was teaching, I was hurting. When I was teaching high school, I was struggling out here in these streets. And I don't know why necessarily, but I found myself not being able to help out people. I just wasn't making enough money. We just don't make enough money as teachers, right? Living check to check. And the last school I was at was like the lowest salary I had ever made. And I was just kind of in a really bad place. So now living in L.A., writing for TV shows, the money's a lot better. It's like just straight up, right? And only thing about it is that you're not always working because things end. But you get residuals from like, you know, what you worked on, or you might get unemployment for what you worked on until you get the next thing. So you get opportunities to create stuff and work with people and bring on who you know to these projects. That's really all this shit is, man. Like, I'm putting you on the game right now. Like, it's a lot about who you know. Because we're all funny people. We can all write. Well, not everybody, but a lot of us can. So it's just a lot about who you know. So I come back home and I try to get people to leave Chicago, man. They can come back and visit, they can come back and live if they want to, but you gotta go for a little while, man. Like these are comics I'm talking about. Like if you're a regular person, a civilian, and you love Chicago, that's great. But for the entertainment field, it's not a lot of jobs out here.
So why is that? I mean, going all the way back to Common, you know, Common just bounced, just was like, I'm out of here, because there's why isn't there an entertainment infrastructure in a city this large?
Well, the money is, if you bring the money here, you're taking money away from somewhere else, right? And I just feel like for like television, all the sitcoms and TV shows are filmed in L.A. That's just where it's at, you know? And this is kind of like, that's the L.A.'s thing. And Chicago's getting more like that now. And Atlanta is too, right?
Atlanta's huge in it.
Right? But I kind of feel like we got to change the mentality, the Chicago mentality. Because even though we're the third biggest city for now, because Houston's on the come
catching
up,
us, yes. Right?
Even though we're the third biggest city, we still have the mentality of a very small city compared to how big our city is. And sometimes, like, people want to be Chicago famous. You know, like that's a thing. And it's not really a thing, but it's a thing. It shouldn't be a thing, you know, but we're very arrogant. We're very cocky as Chicago, because we're like, our city's dope. You know what I'm saying? And we kind of exist in this bubble in just Chicago, where you don't have to leave here, right? And some people feel like they can do it from here. And unless your name is Chance the Rapper, you can't. I give Chance all the love, but everybody who I know who has done things, they've left. They come back. Hannibal's back. Lives back in Chicago. He left for 10 years. You just got to go out there. So my experience in L.A. is kind of like, I don't love it. It's just a means to an end. It's like, I don't like L.A. like that. L.A., the weather's great, but it's like a big strip mall, right, with nice pockets that are like, oh, this is West Hollywood or this is Hollywood. But Hollywood is not even nice looking. It's like have you ever been on like Hollywood Boulevard and you see like you see like dirty Spider-Man and like
in New York you see that in Times Square, yeah, where you get that.
I hate that shit. It's so many homeless people in LA, man, and it smells like pee when it's hot all the time, and it's just like, but then there are sometimes when you're just outside and you're like, oh, this weather is just, that's it. The weather's just dope every day for the most part, right?
So when you're there in the winter, especially while the – I can't remember. Were you home during the polar vortex this year?
No, I was not.
I didn't know if that was the week that you came in to do the show or not. But I just – I was sitting there thinking, because I used to have a place in Arizona, and I sold it a long time ago. And I love that place only because it's a small place. It's 500 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the peace of mind of I could just get on a plane and be there in 3.5 hours. And it's 70 degrees there. I texted Mel today. So I have now found my adult uniform is shorts and a polo. That's where I would prefer to wear every day if I could.
Let me ask you this. As a Chicagoan born and raised, how important or how depressing is it during the winter months?
It's gotten to me over the last 3 years is the first time that I ever entertained the idea of leaving. And I'm one of these people that you're talking about, Dave. I love my city. I put on for it. And, I've pretty much lived out my dream here. But there were moments over the last 3 years where I was like,
That's why there's so many shootings in Chicago, in my opinion. Because, the weather is so shitty. People just come outside and they don't know how to freaking act, man. It's I was literally coming to the station now to see you. And I'm going through all this traffic and... Like I said, it's just boatloads of people outside because we don't get to have good weather in Chicago. So whenever we get it, everybody's like, I got to go outside, right?
And, it's true.
And people are outside. Women are scantily clad and people just don't know how to act and guys get hurt. I think most of the shootings that happen revolve around toxic, just male
toxic masculinity,
fragility is what I say. Like women turning the dude down, and the guy can't help it, but he has all this money because he's one of these street guys, and then he's like, fuck it, I gotta shoot up the spot, and it's just people getting shot over bullshit. But when the weather gets nice, people just come out and they don't know how to act. You know what I'm saying? We just need better weather, and I don't know if it's ever going to happen because. It's Chicago, but we don't know what to do with ourselves out here, man.
For Christmas, me and Mel went to Miami. Miami is her happy place. So
was that nice for Christmas?
Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
So the desert is my happy place. The beach is hers. And so we went out. Miami's not really my thing.
L.A. is both of those together, though.
I know. And we went there, and I was like, man, this is – and I did a couple shows down there. I did my radio show in Chicago from a studio in Miami. And after 3 days there, I was like, this could be dope. I could live here. And that's never really been a thing for me of I could live somewhere else. And Miami definitely wasn't on my list of places. And I was like, man, this is all right.
Can you imagine D-Wade when he came back home when he was like, what am I doing?
I couldn't understand why he signed. I was like, he does know that most of the NBA schedule is played in the winter, right? Because it's not going to be like what was going on in Miami. Not up in here. Plus, he's going to have all sorts of people asking him for stuff coming back here. But you damn right.
That was a failed experiment, but I do think if Rondo would have stayed healthy, because remember, we were up 2-0 on the Celtics. And then Rondo, broke his hand, I want to say. And then they won the next 4 games. But those Chicago Bulls were not a bad team. Think about it. It was Jimmy Butler. It was Dwayne Wade.
But old Dwayne Wade, though.
Jimmy Butler. D-Wade, Rondo. I mean, I forgot the other pieces, but with a better coach, we could have been something, man.
Yeah, Bulls are going to be interesting for the next I already know that there are people over there at 1901 West Madison that hate me. I see it on John Paxson's face when I walk into the building. I know that we have beef.
And Pax?
Yeah, we got beef. And at some point, it's going to come to a head. You're going to see a headline out in L.A. You're going to see a video of me yelling at him or him yelling at me. You'd be like, oh, Lawrence told me that was going to happen, and damn it if it didn't happen.
I mean, I'm a big Bulls fan. I honestly don't even mind Jim Boylan that much.
I don't either. I actually think that I'm coming around on Jim Boylan. I think that I like him. The problem is everything that happened to get to him.
Yeah. Like everything that surrounds the Bulls. You know what, man? I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this on my podcast that don't have nothing to do with sports. I'm not going to talk about sports. It's just going to make me mad.
Okay.
And I'm going to be like you talking about the audience. So I'm – because is it okay. – Dave, it's going to send me down a bad road.
Let's not do it then.
Okay.
Let's not do it.
All right, let's not do that. Let's go back. I just want to ask you about your experience of writing.
Yeah.
And trying to find the next thing. Like, can you talk about the Black-ish experience?
You mean like the
like what it was like for you to submit and try to be a part of it?
This, I mean, I think as a minority writer, a male minority writer, the pool is not that huge, man. You know, it's just not that many like Black male writers, and working on Rail, so that was my last sitcom I worked on, which came on Fox, which I was kind of mad about a little bit.
Did you know Rel before you got to Rel? I couldn't remember. I know he's from here.
Rel's my mentor, man. Like, I used to drive Rel around for years in Chicago, and people would just call me like Rel's driver, and they would roast me like the other comics. Oh, he's just Rel's driver. I'm like, man, I'm learning shit that you all have no knowledge about. And I'm being taken places, well, I'm taking him places because I was driving. But I'm going places with him that, you know, meeting people that you all have no access to. So I learned a lot about the game. And me and Rel started working on a pilot about my teaching life, right? And we started working on it and writing. And then Rel had to leave to do Friends of the People and other stuff. And we never finished it, right? And what we started ended up being something that I'm trying to sell right now, like my first writing sample called Yo Child Left Behind, which is like the story of my teaching experience. It's hilarious, man. It's a very funny sitcom. And so I knew Rel for a very long time, and then you just had to wait for your moment. So he got his show. And what people don't realize when people have these shows, the networks don't let you just hire who you want to hire. They hire who they want to hire. And, you know, for me, this is like my second writing job. So I had to wait until they staffed out these other people who they wanted. And Rel kept saying, like, you know, we're going to try to bring you on. He's like, I know you're dope. I know. I'm going to try to get you on. And it's very frustrating. I didn't think it was going to happen. And it happened. And that job was so dope. Every day, just going into a writer's room with some of the funniest, most creative minds. Like, rest in peace, Kevin Barnett. Is one of my best friends who was the co-creator of that show. Just coming into a positive space. Like, it's something you never experienced in Chicago where, like, you're making more money than you ever made in your life. They got lunch every day. I gained a lot of weight, but I didn't care, man. I was just happy, you know? And same thing with this Black-ish interview that I had. But I didn't get the job at Black-ish. I found out somebody else got it. Great for this person who I know very well. But I also interviewed for the spinoff called Mixed-ish to be a staff writer. And I don't know if I'm going to get that or not, but I feel good about it. I hope that by the time you hear this podcast, I'll have good news about it because I feel good about it, right? And just to... Each job is like leveling up a little bit. Like your name, you know, like people, and you, let's say you do a good job on it, right? People trust you. It just leads to more work. It's dope how that kind of just happens. I'm actually writing a movie with Rel right now.
Really?
Yeah. I'll have more to tell about that once that shit gets sold. But like, I can't say much about it, but
I understand.
You know?
But I'll just say this. You seem like you're in a really good space right now.
I'm chilling, man, yeah.
I mean, other than what happened last night.
Yeah. but that's part of the struggle, though, brother. Like it is, I got to get to a point where I am in a good place. Now I'm just trying to get my health in order. So that, because John Singleton just died, bro.
51.
At 51, right? So it's like, I can be making all the money. I could be doing all these dope things, but if my health is not in order, what's the point? Because that's the most important thing you have. What is money? You know what I'm saying? Like if you have no health, it's nothing.
But you be walking around the city, man.
I'm about to get on this Divvy bike, man. And
I'm telling, please don't.
Don't end up on the Channel 9 news. Lourdes Duarte talking about Chicago comedian Dave Hellum passed out on the lakefront over on 31st Street.
Maybe you're right. Maybe tomorrow should be.
I think today is the day you go walk, but not you don't. Where? Okay, like, let's do this. Where are you going after this?
Well, right now I'm very hungry and I've had a very late night, so I need some food. And I need some food that's going to help me soak up some of this alcohol that's in my system. So I want some cheese pizza. It's not very, very vegetarian friendly. I don't care. I want some good cheese pizza. I'm going to go find some good cheese pizza.
Okay. I mean, there's Giordano's downstairs.
Is it?
Yeah, literally downstairs from here. You can try it.
Yes, Lawrence.
Just saying. It's right there. I appreciate you doing this, man. I know you're hella busy, and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I'm here in town for these lab tracks tapings, because last year I was on the show, but this year I'm actually writing the joint. So it's kind of cool just being in on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I told you to come by, man. Like if you have any free time.
I might come through tonight. I might see if Mel wants to go to downtown Hyde Park and have dinner, and then we'll just walk right over. Okay. Maybe have dinner at Chant and then walk right over.
Okay. Dope.
But thank you, man.
It's always a pleasure, man. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on the podcast, bro.
That is my boy, Dave Hellum, and you can follow him on Twitter very simply at Dave Hellum, H-E-L-E-M. Follow him on Twitter. He's fantastic. I would do emails right now, but there aren't any. It's like you guys, you're still listening to the podcast, but maybe I'm knocking it out of the park as far as the guests that I'm bringing on, because what would usually happen is there would be suggestions on what guests I should have on the show. A lot of times, though, those suggestions would be people who were already on the show. But regardless, you can still email the podcast. I still get the emails. Just because we went to a bi-monthly schedule doesn't mean that I'm not taking emails. houseoflpodcast@gmail.com is the way that you can email it. But I'm glad that Dave had the time, that he was available. He's one of my favorites. I'm so happy for him. He's doing so well. And I'm telling you, he's one of them dudes that you're going to be like, oh, a Chicago guy? Sweet. Always helpful. So I'm going to get out your way. But I will tell you, in closing of today's podcast, man, I can tell you right now that episode 68 is going to be Alex Brown. It's already done. We talked for 2 hours. A couple of things I've shared on the show and on the LoHo podcast, but I'm telling you, man, you're going to want to hear the whole thing. By the way, speaking of the LoHo podcast, LoHo Daily, if you like what I do here, I do more sportsy-esque type stuff on LoHo Daily, just search for it. Same place where you're listening to this podcast, just search for LoHo Daily, and you'll see some of the cool stuff and the cool people in the sports world that I've talked to. But in 2 weeks, Alex Brown. In studio, talking about everything. Thanks for listening. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger. Offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.